Start off by saying that I've written a paper that has many of the ideas in the talk I'm going to be giving. It's on my website, just www.intelligentchristianity.net. Intelligent Christianity, all one word. I do have about 20 copies of that. These are notes for the talk right now. If you haven't gotten those, raise your hand and they could be given to you. But I'll try to run out and get the other essay that has much of this material in it. It's not exactly what's in here, but a lot of it's covered there. So that'll be in written form for you to take with you if you like. So I'll start off with some definitions, because I'm going to be using some terms in a bit idiosyncratic way. But for the sake of my talk, it's worth understand how I'm using it. I'm using the term gap to refer to any event whose occurrence can never be explained in terms of laws of physics. Okay? Also, the order of nature, where I'm using that, as I'm referring, that refers to the pattern of events as opposed to the particular events themselves that manifest itself in the physical world. And the physical world here includes ourselves insofar as we are physical creatures. So everything that goes around us, and ongoing physical processes that sustain the world, biology, chemistry, astrophysics, everything sort of see going around us in terms of the patterns, that's what I mean by the order of nature. By the order of nature, I don't mean particular events. So that the Twin Towers fell is a historical event. Certainly natural law was involved in it. But that's not what I mean by the order of nature. It's the patterns that the sciences are seeking to investigate and study. History, by contrast, refers to particular events that take place within the physical world. Now, events that take place in history could be natural events, but they're particular events. So if the demise of the dinosaurs was through a huge meteorite hitting the Earth, the fundamental laws of physics don't tell you that that's going to take place, but rather it's a physical event. It's not as though it was a miracle that happened, but it's a specific event within history. So by history, I'm referring to those events, particularly events that take place within history. And obviously, particular events can have a huge influence on things, the unfolding of events after that. And history is divided into two categories: human history, which are particular events that bear directly on the lives of human beings. And then natural history is particular events that bear on the development, origin, of the kinds of things to be found in the physical world. I'm thinking primarily in terms of things that took place before human beings were ever around, but I suppose you could think of it also in terms of things that developed, in terms of development of kinds of structures and things we see around us that may have developed since human beings were on the scene. Okay, given that, I'm going to be espousing several theses here, so my talk is organized that way. The first thesis is that there are no gaps in the order of nature. Namely, there are no points at which, when we look at the ongoing world around us, physics, chemistry, biology, we shouldn't expect that as we're studying the brain or we're studying how cells divide, that sort of thing, that we should expect to find gaps that can never be accounted for by physics. And I think that that is a thesis that is, it's justified by good inductive inference from what we have from the sciences so far. We don't know for certain, but there are no gaps. I mean, it's possible if you study the brain, you find sort of massive, large, macroscopic neural events just happen when I have a thought. And hence, if that were the case, then that would be gaps in the ongoing sort of order of nature, the way what we're studying. My assumption is that we do know enough about from physics that we shouldn't expect to find any gaps in the ongoing order of nature. The follow-up thesis is that there is no good, or rather the second thesis is if the Christian faith is true, this ought not to be surprising at all. I think of the example of Isaac Newton, who thought that God needed to adjust the orbits of the planets every once in a while. Well, if we believe in an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, and God knew, I mean, presumably God could have created a world within which he adjusted the orbits of the planets periodically, a gap in the order of nature. But we also know that God didn't need to do that because the world we actually live in has stable planetary orbits just given physics. So clearly one possibility for omnipotent God is to create a world within which he has stable planetary orbits by building the laws of physics, because that's the world we have. It's obviously possible because it's actual. If you think of any kind of area, say cell division, I remember hearing a talk one time where the person said science has not explained cellular differentiation, meaning how a stem cell becomes two nerve cells, or how a nerve cell becomes just the right kind of nerve cell in the right kind of place, so the neurons all connect up. And how do they know how to do it? It's sort of the question. Well, we know enough about cellular biology that I presume that we will find there's some kind of chemical mechanism that, in fact, triggers those to take place. And I suggest to think of anything around us that we ought not to expect to find gaps in the order of nature. But since God, if God has, if this is a possible world where that could be built in the laws of physics, then chemistry, biochemistry, etc., then clearly that's an option for God. And why wouldn't God do it that way? If you ask yourself, what would you do if you were God? It's usually a bad question to ask because we're not God. But in this case, it's a bit odd for me to a person say, well, you shouldn't expect God to build a universe that's this exquisitely ordered. And I said, well, why not? He's omnipotent. Certainly, if from our perspective, it's much more elegant to build into the world whatever we can by physics. Why should we be faulting God or think surely omnipotent God wouldn't have created a world like this if that's what we would have done if we had omnipotence? Okay, the third point is that contend that there's no good inductive inference that takes one from a gapless order of nature to the conclusion of a gapless human history, i.e., that God does not work miracles, exception to the laws of physics, in human history. And I build this argument on the thesis that a good inductive argument needs to meet two conditions. Condition number one is the good inductive argument must be based on a plausibly relevant similarity between features of what is known and that about which the inference is being made. So if you're arguing from things we know and we say, here we have a similar kind of situation, we'll believe this to be the case, we're making an inductive inference, you need to have not only similarities, there have to be similarities that you believe to be relevant for a good inductive inference. A good inductive inference also has to meet a second condition. That second condition is that there has to be free of plausible dissimilarities which are plausibly undercut your inference. So if there are dissimilarities and you have some reason to think these dissimilarities may in fact undercut your inference, then it's not a good inference. There may be some value to it, but a good inference has to have similarities that seem relevant and have to be free of dissimilarities which also seem relevant in the negative direction. And it seems to me that the person who says, well, there's no gaps in the order of nature around us, surely, therefore, God never makes exceptions with regard to individual events, that there is no good inductive step for that. For the sake of time, you can sort of read some of the arguments and sort of why would a Christian God work miracles within history if, in fact, he's created a seamless order of nature or order of nature within which there are no gaps. So I argue that there really is no good argument there. The arguments from a gapless order of nature to there being no gaps in human history, no miracles in human history, fail on condition number two, that there are relevant dissimilarities which would lead us to have a good reason why God may well choose to perform miracles in history and at the same time make a world that has a gapless order of nature. Jump down to... let's see here. Number four, the inductive inference from gapless order of nature to a gapless natural history is stronger than to a gapless human history, but is weaker than the inductive inference, the inference from the success of the sciences to thesis number one above. Now, the reason why I say that is when you think of natural history not only depends on the principles which underlie physics, chemistry, etc. It depends on particular events. So evolutionary theory says there's laws of physics, but at the same time, it depends on mutations occurring in particular ways at particular points in time. So how things develop depends on that course of events. The dinosaurs being wiped out is dependent upon a meteorite striking the Earth and creating the catastrophe which ensued from that. Again, it's not that those are unnatural events, but they regard specific events within history that can have a huge influence on how things develop afterwards. So natural history has that dissimilarity. However, more important in the dissimilarity between sort of on the one hand, the argument, look how much science has accounted for, to saying there's no gaps in the order of nature, and over here saying, well, could there be gaps in natural history? One of the differences is there are major theoretical problems or question marks that haven't been answered yet within the realm of natural history. Given that, I think it's a little presumptuous for us to say, well, surely all those gaps will be filled in. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. If my argument about a gapless order of nature is right, it seems as though God will prefer to use natural processes, physical processes, when that can accomplish what he wants. But we don't have a clear answer as to whether God could possibly, you know, get everything that we have now simply by the laws of physics which he establishes. One consideration is, and I think about the Big Bang and how simple the Big Bang is in terms of it doesn't have very much complexity to it. There's just this one high energy, everything's united together. It doesn't seem to me that if you, at least by a sort of standard Big Bang cosmology, that in the moment of the Big Bang before inflation sort of expands everything out, if inflationary theory is correct, it doesn't seem to me as though there's enough sort of points of information that could be contained within that to specify everything that we see in the world now. If that's the case, then God can't build into some sort of initial conditions of the Big Bang or the universe that involve the human race existing even, or us being here having some conversation or God being concerned about us. So if God's at all concerned about specific events or things that develop within this world, and they can't be built into the laws of physics themselves, and I think they cannot be built in the laws of physics themselves even by God, then I mean somehow God is bringing about what he wants. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that he does it by miracles, exception to the laws of physics. Perhaps he guides natural processes given the natural flexibility, which at least is plausibly there given quantum mechanics. But at least God has to be at work along the way. Number five, God's action in history, human and natural, need not be limited to gaps, nor to his having set up initial conditions of the universe in specific ways. It is possible for God to guide the course of the events without the performance of miracles. Now, I'm not arguing here, this thesis isn't saying this is plausible, but it's possible. It's possible for an omnipotent God to guide a quantum event such that he gets what he wants. It's possible for God to have micro miracles take place. And maybe when I'm praying and God gives me some idea, that God actually makes a neuron fire, which in terms of the laws of physics wouldn't have fired. Now, I don't know what's going on inside my brain, but that's certainly possible. So point number five is simply that it's possible. Point number six, we ask, well, why should we believe that God is at work in sort of either through guiding quantum indeterminacy or through micro miracles, or that he works maybe in larger miracles that we're simply not aware of? My contention is six is the Christian theology, the historical evidence for certain miracles, especially the resurrection of Jesus, and Christian experience, e.g. of divine sovereignty, guidance, and providence, and of answers to prayer, all of those things provide reason for thinking that God's action in history is not limited to occasional miracles of the obvious macro sort. So I don't have any sort of demonstration that God works in micro miracles or that he's guiding through the quantum indeterminacy, but it's certainly possible. And given what I know in terms theologically and also in terms of experience and things in terms of my own answer to prayer and what I've heard of other people, it seems pretty clear to me that God is at work in the world. And therefore, since these are certainly possibilities, and we may never be able to sort of nail them down or discover them by scientific method, I have sort of leave up sort of the means God uses to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, but I'm not bothered by my not knowing the answer of specifically how it is that God is working within history or how he's answering our prayers. Thank you.
We've got lots of time. We started about 4 minutes late, but we only used about 12 minutes, 13 minutes since then. So,
yes.
You made the statement that God can't program in the initial conditions whatever would be required to bring about formational economy of the universe as it is. So, are you saying that it's impossible for it to be done, or that you can't see that how you would?
Well, what my suggestion is that if you think of the Big Bang as being some small, compact event with this high degree of homogeneity in it, very, very high temperature, and if you think there's some sort of quantum quantization of what's real there, even if every sort of quantum bit of information that one might have at this moment with the Big Bang, it seems to me that you won't have small enough quanta to be able to specify my paper here today, much less everything else that's taking place in the world. So it seems to me that if you presume that if God sets things up physically and determines what's going to happen, there have to be sort of information points, enough information points within which the state of the universe at that point could actually contain the information necessary for everything that exists in the universe right now, and that doesn't seem to me to be likely.
Is that information according to physical law?
Yeah, I'm presuming, I mean, by saying God determines it by setting up the initial conditions. I mean, sometimes say, well, God answers our prayer. He knows we're going to pray, so therefore he sets up initial conditions, knowing that I'm going to pray so that when I pray, so that God's answer to prayer doesn't involve God sort of manipulating things within our recent sort of time, but rather simply God setting up initially, knowing that I would pray at this point, and God set it up such that the answer to prayer would come. And my suggestion is it seems implausible to me to think that God actually can build in that kind of information if one thinks the Big Bang Theory is correct, and that if it has the sort of information containing potential, or the lack of it that I think it has, I don't see any way in which you can actually have all the information content of the world as exists now contained in it, or all the answers to prayer, all the ways in which we would want to say God is at work.
Along that line, granted, information has to be put in somewhere. Now, what about, for instance, the creation of heavy elements? Did that start, that information start at the very beginning point, or is it something God did later? As an example.
Yeah, that would be an example of something that God could quite easily build into the laws of physics itself. He could build in the laws of physics, or perhaps with initial conditions that you would have stars and galaxies form. And the physics itself would give you nuclear fusion and the production of the heavier elements and supernovas. And so there's lots of things God can accomplish that way. So yes, how does God act in the world? Obviously, one way in which he can act in the world is by building the laws of physics. But when people say that's the only way God acts, it seems to me that that's a huge conflict with what at least I want to believe as a Christian of a God who is at work within my own life, involved in history, and has a strong sense of sovereignty over what takes place.
Isn't that what Newton was acting upon, that concept?
Yeah, Newton, I think we make a mistake if we fault people for Newton, like saying, well, he was falling into the God of gaps. Well, and from his perspective, he didn't have the physics, which made it quite... For us looking back, we can say, oh, it was a mistake. But at that point, for us to say it was a mistake for him. So I'm not faulting Newton at all, but simply given what we know after that, and we ask if is it surprising that there isn't the need for God to adjust it, or there isn't the need for God to control cellular differentiation. It's after the fact that we can say, no, that's not surprising at all. I think when Christians first started studying the world, they had no idea that it would be as exquisitely ordered as it is. They may well have thought that there's a lot that God does sort of manually, and that may be part of Newton's thought of thinking, well, God adjusts the planets, because after all, his inverse square law, et cetera, he didn't see how that guaranteed the stability of planetary orbit, so he just invoked God. But given what we do know about the world and how exquisitely ordered it is, I'm suggesting that from a Christian understanding of who God is, that's not at all surprising. That's something which makes perfectly good sense for God to do, if in fact God can do that. If God can build something into the world that he wants by building the laws of physics, it makes perfectly good sense to me that he would do that. Yes?
What is your definition of natural process? Now, see, natural processes are used in chemistry and physics, and also there's a Darwinian use of natural process.
Yeah, by natural process, I mean events that can be explained by the laws of physics. So it's sort of like when Napoleon asked Laplace, why did you make any reference to God in your book on the solar system? And Laplace said, I have no need of that hypothesis. So by natural process, I mean, obviously, if God works a miracle, there's natural things going on. But what I mean by natural process is simply events which, if you explain the term of the laws of physics, that's adequate to explain why it is that it took place.
It's confusing because in chemistry, criteria is spontaneous processes, physical chemistry. You have spontaneous processes, which are natural processes, and you have non-spontaneous, so reverse, non-natural processes. And your use is confusing.
Okay, hopefully what I said about it clarifies some of the ambiguity. I have to read back through it. Next time I give it, be clear on that. Yes.
Doesn't your thesis, in a sense, limit God by forcing him into a space-time mold? I mean, what appears to us as subsequent miraculous events are not subsequent to God.
Yes, the question of how does our prayers make any difference to God whatsoever? I'm inclined to think that God's outside of time, because as we know, time is part of the physical universe. And if God created time and space, then God is not sort of popping into being, or his ability to act, it doesn't suddenly appear with his creation of the world. So I'm very much like Augustine, thinking that God's outside of time on that kind of theological question. But I also believe the Scripture quite clearly tells that however it works out, that what we do is important in the dynamic of things, and that God does answer prayer. Our praying is something God honors. So the question is, how does that fit together? And it seems to me that it's not sufficient simply to say that God knew we'd be praying at this time, say, from outside of time. So, I mean, how is he building the laws of the physics? Which came first? You get into conundrums that way.
When you say new, let the space-time work.
Yeah, so C.S. Lewis talks about writing a book within which God can sort of make changes, and from his framework, he can make changes. Whether it's something like time in the mind of God, I don't know. It's easier for me to think of God as if there is something like temporal sequence in the mind of God, even though it's not physical time. But that may not be the case. It simply may be the limitations of me. But it does seem to me that God is not constrained by physical time that we know of. Yeah?
You talked about the argument from induction for why we should expect a gapless universe.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you can go from having a star that can assemble itself due to gravity, nuclear forces being just what's needed, to the first life? It seems to me that the degree of complexity required in one case and another case, do you think that there might be a certain level where one would be possible but not the other one?
Yeah, I'm inclined to think there are enough difficulties in how one accounts for the origin of life itself that if you sort of went back in time and sort of reran it, that you wouldn't get, you know, life appearing of the same sort run over again. So I'm quite sympathetic with intelligent design folk, but I'm also fairly agnostic when it comes to the question how much of natural history might we be able to account for in terms of God's using natural mechanisms, or how much of that is reflected in the sort of evolutionary processes which your standard evolutionist would point to. So I'm not an anti-evolutionist, but at the same time I find it strange for a Christian who believes that God has worked miracles in human history to assume that in fact God's able to build into the laws of physics, say, the human race coming about. Kenneth Miller, I think, is more consistent in saying that no, God didn't have us in view. He had no way of being able to guarantee that the human race would be here. He contends that God simply built a universe within which intelligent life would likely arise somewhere at some point, and he would then interact with those creatures. But it seems to me that no, God, in fact, knew that we would be here and had planned that the human race would be here.
We've got about 2.5 minutes
okay.
for a last question and answer.
Okay, let's go at the very back.
Yeah, well, I hate to harp on this word situation, but it just seems to me that many talks here have to do with producing a situation in which something emerges. For example, the Big Bang created a situation in which galaxies emerge. Galaxies created situations in which, you know, our star emerged. The nebula created a situation in which our planet emerged. That idea of God not so much as doing cause and effect as creating situations, how does that fit into what you just said?
Yeah. I think when we go back to Genesis, I mean, for me, I want to be faithful both to what Scripture says and what science is telling us. And when I read Genesis 1, I'm really told very little about how God did it. I mean, it says God spoke. Well, God wasn't literally speaking. It was God willed. But that can be about as nonspecific as you may. God willed and it was. Or said, let the sea bring forth. I mean, what kind of mechanism is that? It sounds like God is working through some process. So I think we ought to be, to not say more, say Scripture commits itself to this, when in fact it's not clear what the processes are that God, that Scripture commits us to.
But sort of metaphorically, it seems to connect with this idea of emergence of a new situation.
Right. My suggestion is that I think God guides a lot of things, and it's not just sort of determined by the situation God makes in the first place. Thank you.
Okay. We better move on here for our next presenter. Yeah.